Why is he here? I mean, I'm glad that he's back, but why right here? Why right now? Did he seek me out? Did Lathandra guide him here? Did I beckon him somehow? Roshek, my brother, fortune really isn't favoring you. Isn't favoring either of us, I guess. I suppose I should be thankful, though. Perhaps together we can bring back the light again. This is Red Moon Roleplaying.
You are led through the night through the town of East Haven. The hour is getting quite late now. Almost midnight, you think to yourself, Roman. No one is on the streets. Everyone is tightly held up in their homes, doing their best to stay warm. It's so hard lately, but it is still possible, as long as the whale oil supplies last out. Kaliana is looking at you with some concern, but she is mainly more concerned on you, Roshek, doing her best to aid you as you move along, but again, you almost feel like you don't actually need her help that much, although perhaps you are a little grateful for it. You are all led to the Town Hall of East Haven, one of the more impressive buildings in the area. Again, not as impressive as a great cathedral or, you know, some of the places you've seen, Roman. But it is still a sturdy, multi-leveled stone house with a good wooden thatched ceiling and good windows, positions for people to be, during the day at least, on guard. The big double iron doors are opened up for you and you are led into the town hall area. You immediately see, situated on the left, two or three militia folk. I'm pretty sure you know most of them, Roman, at least little. They appear to be nursing scrapes and cuts. Nothing too serious, but still, what do you do?
Well, it's time to do what I do best, which is to take care of people and to heal their wounds. So we've been asked to come here, so let's get this thing done. And I begin moving up.
Kaliana, once again, looks to you, Roshek, but then leaves your side, going to attend to these wounded, shaking her head, saying, could someone explain what's going on? Why these look like sword wounds? What's been going on, Captain? The Captain, Captain Imdra, enters the area, her hood lowered now, revealing her half-elven features, her slightly tanned skin, dark hair tied in a thick ponytail. Well, it's a bit of a long story. Let's just say Siphon won't be happy. Turns out we had some more visitors camping out in the East Haven ferry itself. Dwagar, would you believe?
Really? Are they a common sight around here, or has that happened before?
No. Dwagar are not a common sight around here, Roman, because you know that Dwagar are much like drow. You may have seen one or two come through, but most of their people live underground in the great city of Gauntlegrim and the outposts that stretch out deep into the Underdark from there.
What has brought them out here? Did they say anything? Or was it just battle?
Captain looks like she's about to respond. A figure interrupts, currently leaning against the wall, leaning near a great fireplace with a great mounted knucklehead trout currently over it. The speaker is very happy about that knucklehead trout. They caught it many years ago, but it is a mighty specimen of the fish in the area. Fish you know very well, Roman, because your diet has consisted of an awful lot of knucklehead trout over the last year or so. Great red snapper-like things, a bit like a salmon, but twice as large. The figure has a raven on their shoulder. Their cloak is pulled back, revealing a tiefling. Solid white hair, solid white skin, red eyes. Albino, you're familiar with the term, Roman? A rare medical condition. Haven't really seen it before, though. This figure laughs. Oh, nothing to be that worried about. You simply had some Dwaegar interlopers scouting out your town, possibly trying to get the Chardalin statue that you have in the, where, in this place. This town hall, is it? And, probably, part of some great scheme.
Chardalin statue? What is that?
The Chardalin statue you know very well. It is currently situated in the safe house of this very building. What is Chardalin? Chardalin is a very interesting substance, similar to metal, but lighter, easier to mold. It is not a natural substance. It is created artificially by magic. How? You have no idea. No one does. It is a very rare material, except in Icewind Dale. Why? If you want, you can roll me a history check.
Roman was never a particularly, well, good student of history. 7.
You seem to recall, there was something was made. A tower? It was a long time ago, you're pretty sure. One of those legends. But again, of course, the Forgotten Realms, a lot of legends are actually fact. In this case, you're pretty sure some heroes destroyed a great tower made of the stuff made by a wizard, and he made it. But the tower was so immense that all the shards spread everywhere. Even today, you can still find spots and areas where there are deposits and shards of this great element. This is not good, because you know Chardalin absorbs magical energy. It can absorb good energy, but the Chardalin of Icewind Dale is thick with demonic energy. When the Speaker Danef Whalen, the representative leader of Easthaven, had a statue bought a few weeks ago by some would-be treasure hunters, you were there to make sure that they knew immediately that it was a dangerous item. It has been held safely in the townhouse ever since. People say, if you stay too long near Chardalin, evil will influence you. Corrupt you.
It is very worrying, of course, that it is here, and they're coming to get it, so they're coming to take it back. Is that it, then? I mean, it hasn't been here for long, right? It was just brought here a few weeks ago, right?
That is correct, in your mind. This tiefling shrugs. I don't know. I'm new here, after all. But I've been telling your little captain and your speaker that they've had a similar issue where I've been at Caer Dynvel. We found an encampment there as well. I hate to say it, but I think you've got a little bit of a Dwaegar war party getting ready to do something. Normally that would be a little silly, wouldn't it? But then again, with the wonderful weather you're having, well, the Dwaegar aren't quite as hindered by the sunlight as they would normally be, are they?
Oh, that's true.
As Kalyana first left my side, it felt strange not to have someone there. There's always been someone looking after me this time. Not knowing really what goes on about their healing or what else they're doing, it feels like local trouble. Names brought up that I haven't heard for a long time. Stuff like Dwaegar. I don't know what of that concerns me. As I look around in this place, continuously casting small cantrips that I've used all this time to try and keep myself comfortable, and now I continuously warm up these clothes that they've given me to the point that I start to sweat, which I haven't felt for a long time. And I walk around and I experience all these emotions. Sensations, rather. Trying not to care too much, but I can't help but feel empty and strange in this place, which is so much home to someone that I used to know.
Yes, this albino tiefling suddenly is by your side, smirking at you, disdainfully. Ooh, you look really lost.
Who are you?
Does it matter? She turns to the captain. I'll be taking my gold now, if that's fine. I think I've done more than enough for you. The captain looks at you, Roman, and then looks at the tiefling. You have been helpful. She reaches into her belt and takes out a gold purse, which she flings to this tiefling. The tiefling catches it deftly. Wonderful. Again, I'll leave the interrogation of the prisoner to you. I would definitely have people look into it. But, well, I'm done. She begins to walk past you, Roshek. What do you do?
I see this little being. I see it's greedy, taking the gold. I realize I don't have anything. And still, what do I have to do with all this? I'm not sure. I look up to Roman. What does this mean? You working with the law here now?
Well, we are part of this community. And the sun doesn't shine here either. So we have to work together. And we have to protect each other. And I think now more than ever that's important. So I have no issue working with the law here. Hopefully you won't either. We all need to pull together now.
You want me to help you? With what? Cutting wood?
The tiefling, with a little hum to themselves, skips out of the exit and vanishes into the night, pulling their hood up. Again, Roman, she's wearing so little. Like, she has a cloak on, but she should be a lot colder, but for some reason isn't bothered by the cold. At this point, Captain Imdra steps up to you, Roshek. Roman, could you explain who this person is? I'm a little concerned. What do they mean? Who are they? Are you a stranger to these parts? I'm Captain Imdra of the militia. If you're here to cause any trouble, I'm afraid you will have to go through me. Do you trust this person, Roman?
Yes, with my life. This is my friend Roshek. We have been through a lot together. You don't have anything to fear from him. I will vouch for him.
I look down at the captain, and I give a curt nod. Yes, I seem to have ended up here.
She raises an eyebrow, giving you a very assessive look. This is the look of a fighter, of a warrior, a commander. She is giving you a very assessive gaze. She is not remotely intimidated by you, but she is not hostile. She seems to ease up a little as Roman vouches for you.
It tickles something in the back of my mind. The military fashion, the style. I haven't seen it in a year, and somehow I give off a little smirk.
I will take your word for it, Roman, though I'm not in a mood for more surprise visitors. You saw that woman who left. She is a wizard of some kind. You know how I feel about wizards right now. But she did help us, so...
Yeah. What do you think? What can we do here? We don't want to invite further Duergar to come after our town. Especially under these conditions, that could be really, really bad.
You may not have a choice. The prisoner is downstairs. I was going to go interrogate him shortly. We found some interesting documents. We killed the other two. There were three of them in all. I won't lie, we got lucky. The wizard had dispelling magics. You know how Duergar have innate abilities. The one downstairs we feel for the moment has been tired out, but soon may regain their power after rest.
Yes, we had better speak to them now then. Perhaps I can aid you somehow. Perhaps we can find out what's going on.
She looks at you a little interested, raising an eyebrow, saying, "You've never been one for interrogations before, Roman." Kaliana looks up, sort of looking at you a little concerned, but also trying to keep an eye on these militia who do seem to have been wounded.
Well, I don't know how much I've told you about my previous life, but let's say that I have seen and done a lot of different things, and I think I can be of use here, and I think so can my friend.
I squint at them both. not quite sure what to make of myself or what I would even remotely want to do now that I'm back. Is that what I am? Where am I supposed to be going? I have something I need to fulfill, but I don't know what. I might as well entertain these people for now. And Roman, he saved me. He saved me too, many times. I will help if I can.
That is good. May we aid you, Captain Imdra?
She looks a little uncertain at first, but then a voice speaks out from behind her. You know who this is, of course, Roman? Speaker Danith Whalen. A man in his late 50s. Deeply dark-skinned. Thick of beard. A friendly enough fellow. He does his best for the town of East Haven. You like him.
Ah! Well, we'd be grateful for any assistance they could give, Captain. Maybe the priest can, you know, help out a little, maybe get some information. I myself would like to know. It is very suspicious, isn't it, Roman? We've had that item here for only a few week or so, and suddenly we have Dwagar. I can only think they were after the Shardalin. That makes sense, doesn't it?
I suppose it does. Does it have to be here? Really? Can we not get rid of it somehow? I mean, it seems to attract all kinds of trouble.
I agree, but where? We can't just leave it out on the lake? Put it in the middle of nowhere? It's very difficult to tell. After all, someone else could find it, and it could cause harm. You told me yourself.
Do I know what such a thing is?
Chardlin, you think there's a dim memory of hearing of it. Like you think it's immaterial, but you don't know any more than that.
What is this thing they're trying to take?
It is evil, I suppose you could say. Demonic energy. Bad news. We definitely don't want them to have it, but perhaps they're sensing it. Perhaps that's why they're here. Or perhaps it's just this damn darkness that's making them, well, eager to pillage what they couldn't reach before.
Can you not destroy it somehow?
Would we not just release something then, I think to myself?
Well, my dear friend, sorry, I don't believe we've met. Speaker Danith Whalen of East Haven. A pleasure to meet you.
I go up and I shake his hand.
He gives you a firm handshake back, smiling warmly.
Ah, well, you see, the issue is, of course, that you can, of course, smash it up, but then it's just smaller pieces. Like, eventually, each shard is still a shard, you know what I mean? Unless you have a way of completely and utterly smashing it into dust, and I don't really have that. We don't really have anything like that in East Haven at the moment.
How did you come to have it in the first place?
Some haulers found it. They found it near the Sea of Moving Ice a few weeks ago. They carried all the way here, expecting a reward. They weren't locals. Unfortunately, they didn't seem to understand how dangerous the stuff can be.
Roman, I wish to see this thing. I turn to you.
I suppose we should. But how about we speak to that Dwagar first, before he regains his powers? It'll make it all the more difficult if we have to deal with those two.
Sure.
The captain nods to the speaker.
Very well, it's a little unusual, but this is an unusual situation. All right then, you can assist to the interrogation. And she motions for you to follow her towards a door leading down to the basement of the town hall.
And I follow.
You are led down to the basement. The basement is not very large. It's mainly used for storing wine barrels, but there is a small cell area, just in case. Four cells, guarded by a thick door. Again, not needed that often in East Haven. Especially of late. There aren't that many criminals anymore. Everyone knows each other for the most part. And new people, well, you know, Roman, the trickle of new people has been slower and slower each passing month. The last caravan, the last dog sled, not from a nearby town, was 3 months ago. It has, after all, been difficult. The passes through the spine of the world are not impossible to traverse at the moment. It's just very dangerous. Blizzards, snowstorms, avalanches. Only the hardiest wagons can get through, and those normally require at least a wizard or a priest to cast some sort of magic spell. Anyone else, it's just too dangerous. Too easy to have an accident or be cut off by the snow. People are just simply coming less and less. Still, here you are, in a cell. Some militia are nearby. They unlock a door, and you are brought into a dingy little room. Currently chained to the wall is a man. A dwarven man, you would think to yourself. But no, there is something different. The skin is a strange charcoal-y ashen grey colour. The beard, white. The eyes are steely blue. The individual is currently in some sort of undergarments. It looks like maybe he was wearing some armour, but that has been removed. It looks at you and snorts in derision. The captain looks to the pair of you, Roshik, Roman. Well, we only have a few questions for you, Dwagar. What is the meaning of your intrusion in East Haven? And more importantly, what does this mean? She takes out a piece of paper. She hands it to you, Roman. It looks like a map. You think you can see, crudely, the 10 towns. It's a little crude, but you think you recognize that. To you, Roshik, of course, this is a map of some place and you have no idea where. But there is a big cross marked near Caer Conig. And then, to the south, in the spine of the World Mountains, there is another cross somewhere in the region. The figure, the Dwagar, simply snorts. I don't know. You tell me what it means. What do you do, Roman? Or Roshik, even?
I hope you're not too uncomfortable there. We certainly don't want you to suffer here. We have no real interest in causing you harm or having any conflict with you or your people. We've lived in peace all these years, have we not? Mostly, anyway.
The figure leans forward and smiles.
Discomfort. Oh my, human, you know nothing of discomfort. This is nothing. A few chains. You don't even have any spikes wedged into me.
No, I am aware of the fate of your people. It is not one that I would wish upon anyone. But please understand that we wish you no harm. We wish your people no harm. We just wish to survive here, just as I'm sure you wish. Now, what can we do to put this at rest, to avoid further bloodshed?
You can release me at once.
Come now. You know you're going to have to do a little bit better than that.
Am I? I don't think so.
Well, I think it would set a good example if you'd share what you know, if you would actually show what your people are made of, that you are a proud people who we could perhaps trade with in the future. We could prosper together.
Trade with surface dwellers. On the contrary, we will take everything you have. You are not strong enough to stop us, so we will take it. That is the way it is. That is the way it should be. I hope for your sake that you are strong enough to resist, but I don't think you will be.
That is the way that it has been, I say. It is not the way that it has to be, but if you wish to hold on to the old ways, then be my guest, I suppose. See where that takes you. You have a chance here to get through this with your life, if that means anything to you, and perhaps go back to people you care about. You care about, you have family, right? Those sorts of things. Perhaps you can go back to them. Perhaps you don't have to die here. But I assure you, that is what will happen if you don't help us and if you don't make yourself valuable to us.
If you like, both of you, Roshik and Roman, can roll a history check.
12.
17.
Roman, Dwagar,
They live underground. Dwarves live underground. I mean, they are dwarves, really. It's just a horrible incident that you vaguely are familiar with. Something happened, and they are now the way they are. But still, you think you're on good footing. Roshek, you have to stop yourself laughing a little. What's Roman doing? Family. Care about family? Dwaegar care about no one. They can't anymore. They would betray their own brothers and sisters as easily as drop a knife if they could. They only don't, because they believe might is right. They follow the strongest. If anyone in the family, regardless, shows weakness, they will be cast aside and beat down. It is the only way they are able to survive. At least that's how they believe. So you feel Roman's tact here is a little off.
I fold my arms, looking at this, and I do indeed try to hold back a scoff. And it's interesting remembering these things. I have been trying to read also during my time in bed all these years to understand the world more, to understand my sudden position of leading people. Well, I think it would be more relevant to one of your kind to show that they are capable and that they are bringing back some results, isn't it? You want to show that you are the one capable of doing your job, otherwise you just get killed as you get back, isn't that right? So what is it that you needed to do? And we don't care for you or your life, but we do care about this village and its future. If you want to get out of here with some kind of prize, then name it. Because we know that you'll be dead for just having been caught in the first place.
You know nothing, Half-Orc. I am far more important than a lowly soldier.
Who are you, if you are so important?
He considers this for a moment before nodding his head. I suppose there is no shame in a name. I am proud of it. I am Durf Sunblight, son of Zardarok Sunblight, king of Sunblight. He chuckles at that.
Royalty. My, what an honor.
You should be grateful to be in my presence, yes. I like this one, the Half-Orc. Yes, I will deal. The statue. Give it to me. Let me take it from your town. You do not want it. You fear it. We do not. It'll be ours. And there you go. And then I maybe will give you something in return. There you go. A bargain. I can bargain.
And your point is that you are going to leave this place and not use it for further harm here?
Oh, of course not. Why would I do something like that? You see the captain look at both of you and whisper, Roman, I appreciate the method you're using, but I do not want this individual to leave alive. We cannot risk it.
I know.
Well, then tell us what you intend to do with it, exactly.
Oh, that would be telling, wouldn't it?
Indeed. But what, should we just take your words that you will not harm anyone for it?
Certainly. I give you my word. Surface dwellers care greatly about that, don't they?
Yeah. But does your kind?
No. Not the true ones, anyway. You know what he means, of course, Roshek. Of course, like any sentient being, not every single Dwaegar is born evil. There are plenty. In fact, you think you even met a mercenary once who was a very fine chap, even though he never laughed any of your jokes. But their kings, the capital, they have done things they need to survive, and they ensure that no one who dissents either lives or is allowed to remain underground. Exiles are common.
So tell us what you intend to do with it.
I intend to take it off your hands and make it somewhere safe. There we go.
And what does it do exactly?
It is a useful material. Better than metal. Easier to mold. Perfect for weaponry.
I think to myself that it would be interesting to hear what this actually does. But, look over to Roman.
Well, you put us in quite a difficult situation. We must talk this over. Don't go anywhere, will you? I say, and I begin moving off together with the captain, I hope, and Roshek.
The captain follows you outside, saying, "Well, personally, I want to know what this X on the map is near the spine of the world. This one near Kaer Konig, well, our friend from earlier told us this was a camp. There were quite a lot of Dwegar there, but she and the militia of Kaer Konig were able to deal with them."
"Is this far away?"
She looks at you and remarks, "Kaer Konig, not so far away. This location would be much further away. At least a day or two's travel, give or take."
"Well, we could look into it. Me and Roshek are used to trekking through difficult environments. We could find out. And meanwhile, you can see what you can get out of this Duergar we have locked up down there."
She frowns a little, remarking, "I worry about that. It won't be long. Dwegar are naturally skilled in a few things. We might not be able to hold him if he increases or decreases in size." "Both of you would know this is a common trait of the Dwegar. They are able to increase their size dramatically, and some can even minimize themselves with enough skill."
"Well, you don't want to see him leave here alive, then maybe we should just take his life," I say quite casually.
"Now, Roshek, this isn't the Dread Realms. We need to..." And I sort of trail off.
"Well, what do you hope to get out of him? We want to know what this thing does and what you can do to stop the attacks." "I don't know. How frequent are these attacks, anyways?"
The captain looks at you. "There haven't been any attacks. This is the first we've heard of this occurring. We didn't know anyone was on the ferry. The ferry has not been in use. The lake, of course, is frozen, so no one's been on the ferry for a while, and Siphon has checked it every now and again, but he's... Well, we already questioned him, and he had no idea. They were hiding in one of his... you know, the cellars of the ferry, making a little camp. After all, Dwegar can also turn invisible, so it seems that they may have actually been here longer than we know."
"So there might be more of them, and then again, it might not. This might just have been the force that has come. And this person, which is apparently royalty, was leading that little charge." "It's a bit pathetic."
"You say that. If it weren't for our mysterious friend, we would not have known they were even here. We were only able to get them because we caught them by surprise. They weren't expecting us to raid the ferry tonight."
"Huh.
Yes. We have to thank our lucky star there. Well, what do you think? I mean, I'm not going to tell you how to do your job. You have to keep the town safe. And whatever you can do that falls within the laws of the town, I really cannot have any comment on that. I do wish that there isn't any further bloodshed, but you will do as you will. But what say you? We certainly can look into this. We can try and find out where this map is pointing to and see if we can determine if it's a threat to the town or not."
The captain nods, the pair of you. "I'll be honest with you. I would like to send some people with you, but I don't feel if this threat is real we can. A large party owes so much our attention. Maybe you're right. Maybe are you sure you can do this, Roman?"
"There's a lot of things that we haven't really talked about. But trust me when I say that we're quite capable. We can do this. Especially if it's the two of us. I'll have to tell you these stories sometime."
She nods at you. Very well, I might be able to arrange some of the axe beaks from the stable for you to use. If this map is correct, this place shouldn't be too difficult to find, at least vaguely, but I don't obviously know what it will be when you get there. I'd love you to go and investigate, see what you can see, and be extremely careful. As for our friend, the captain looks to you, Roshek. He cannot be allowed to live. I know how you feel about this, Roman, but we don't have the resources to have a prisoner right now. That will be more food. Not to mention that any moment he could try and break free from his bonds, turn invisible, murder some of my men. I can't risk it. Dwaegar are very stubborn, I've heard, and this one especially, if he is royalty, he will be straight from the culture, that is. I've not heard good things.
I just sigh. You will do what you will do.
She opens the door. You hear a bit of a chuckle from inside.
Ah! Back for more negotiations. No, I consent it. You're going to end my life. I'm glad. I would never give you any more information. Know this, surface dwellers. Your death is coming on swift wings.
And the captain closes the door behind her. And in a few moments you hear a sound of something and the laughter ceases. What the two of you do?
I shudder in the cold.
I look over to you, and then I sort of beat down my eyes. You know, Roman, I'm not the warrior I once was.
I am not the priest I was either. But there's enough there still, and we did a lot together. I'm sure we can do this if we work together again, don't you? Don't you think?
Well, if it's just investigating some place, I don't know, yeah, but I haven't held a sword for I don't know how long. What I was trying to do then was another man. I've been in bed all this time. I had to pick up tricks even to have things fetched to me. I tried to write, could barely lift my own hand. I had to learn to conjure things and to keep people away with minimal effort. I don't know how much of that power I retain now, but I'm not a sword swinger anymore.
Well, it seems like you have quite a few tricks up your sleeve, based on what you showed me back at the shrine. No worry. As I said, if we're together, nothing can stop us. Not even the devil could stop us, remember?
You hear a little bit of commotion in the cell. Not anything to be concerned about, just suddenly a bit more noise. You hear something loudly being yelled in Dwarvish. Does anyone speak Dwarvish?
No.
No. I speak Abyssal, Celestial, and Infernal.
None of you know what is being said, although, Roshek, I feel you get the intention. A proud warrior is meeting his death. He chants something in Dwarvish again and again, and finally there is silence. After a few moments, the captain comes out of the door.
It is done, then?
Yes, as I said, you heard it. A royal Dwaegar like that. We're lucky we got what we did out of him. They will never betray their own kind to others, even if they apparently betray each other all the time.
I don't know. I will never approve of slaughtering someone who can't fight back, but I understand why you did what you did. I cannot judge you.
You know, Roman, the captain is a lawful person. They are good, and you feel if the times were different, this would have been different. There could have been better care given to a prisoner like this. There could have been a chance at negotiation, but the way things have been going lately, the captain has been doing more things like this, more concerned about protecting the people of the town than the morality behind it. And she's not alone. so many people you know are turning more and more to darker thoughts and darker times. And the cold, the isolation, even the towns themselves are starting to turn on each other, you feel, becoming greedy with the supplies they have. Once they would have shared them, now there are whispers that this town hides food from that town and they are trying to get something from the other town. Paranoia is rising as the winter nights continue.
And that's why this hurts so much, because this fall is exactly the same fall that I took in the Dread Realms. I lost hope, and I stopped being who I was supposed to be. We can only destroy ourselves at the end of the day. Truly, I mean. And that's what's happening here. And I despair at the thought of that. But I understand why they are doing what they're doing. I cannot judge them for that. I did the same, after all. I wish things were different. Perhaps the answer lies at the X on this map.
The captain looks at you a little grimly, and then looks at you, Roshek. I do not take pleasure in what I have to do to protect this town. But once again, I'll be grateful to you, stranger, and you, Roman, if you are able to aid us in this. Go and investigate. See what you can find. If there is a Dwaegar war party, they would never normally attack the surface. It's almost unheard of, but I suppose normally that's because of the sunlight. It's the same reason drow don't invade more often, at least in force. But I've heard tales from the Hammershield dwarves at Kelvin's Cairn. They'll want to know as well. This is serious. You know, Roman, she's speaking of the dwarven clan underneath Kelvin's Cairn. You haven't seen much of them lately because they too are underground and have largely closed their doors and are not interfering with the realms above. But they are dwarves and they would be concerned. You think you're aware that Dwaegar and dwarves have been at war for some time, unfortunately. At least the main kingdom's underground.
Yes, it is unfortunate that these blood feuds must continue, but, well, it is the way of things, I suppose.
My name is Roshek, Captain, and I will help your city, and more so than anyone. This man, I understand you don't know all about him or his past, but he saved my life too.
Very well. You seem confident. That makes me feel better. Let's go back upstairs. She leads you back upstairs to the main hall. The Speaker Dannen, is happy to see you. Quickly talks with the captain, assessing the situation, and comes over.
My goodness, Roman. Well, I'm a little worried about you going all the way out there by yourself. We'll make sure you have supplies, proper winter gear, the axe beaks, and yes, go and scout. My goodness, how exciting. I'd say exciting normally, but I don't know what the captain's telling me. This all sounds very suspicious. Dwaegar sneaking around the tower at night. Goodness me, who knows how long they've been here?
Yeah, it is worrying. It is truly worrying. If they come at us in force, I don't know if we can stop them. Now, we have to move quickly now and discover what's at the root of all this. Put a stop to it. And hey, perhaps we will even find out what's making the skies dark.
Well, that would certainly be reassuring, wouldn't it? Very well then, very well. I wish you good luck. May the gods watch over you, especially Helm. And, oh yes, of course, Lefander.
Yes, of course.
Kalina comes over very quickly as you're being given supplies. Militia are quickly giving you bags and a bit more stuff, and you know that you'll be led to the stable soon for those axe beaks. You remember what an axe beak is, Roshek. It's coming back to you. Great big bird-like beasts. Two legs, covered in thick feathers. Gigantic axe-like beaks, funnily enough, at the front of their faces. They're a good pack animal. They're not a horse, but you think to yourself, if you're in Icewind Dale, you recall Icewind Dale, a snowy place. A horse actually might not be very good out here. All the snow, after all.
I feel excited, suddenly. It's coming like a slow sensation in the back of my mind. I've never been to a place like this before. Never. I always liked the hills, but mountains, I This is... I've hardly had much experience with snow. Now, this... I mutter under my breath to Roman. I haven't worn a chainmail in... I don't know. But do you have some sort of armory here? Maybe some kind of padded something?
Yes, of course. We'll get you sorted and get you ready for this trip. Whatever you need. Whatever works for you now. Time changes every man, right?
Ah. Well, you seem to have been... I don't know. You don't seem to have changed so much. You know new people. You doing your things. Healing, flowing, and all that.
I have changed, though. I've let go of the past. It's not a burden on me anymore. Not even this darkness can get me down. I'm happy, Roshek. And I haven't been that for a very, very long time.
I look you over. There's no complete understanding in my eyes, but I nod. Yeah, you do seem a bit different. Less plagued by... Well, that's good. That's good, then. And I look over to Kaliana. You live together?
Yes, Roshek. Roman has been living with me at the shrine ever since he came here, helping out. It's a little awkward, of course. I think he was expecting a glorious temple to Lefander. But, well, we don't have any of those here. And, of course, well, I'm a priest of Ilmater. We do not have great temples like that. There is no point. Such frivolities don't mean anything, after all. Our goal is to help people. You don't need too much to do that. Although, could I have a quick word, Roman?
Oh, of course.
You take your time. I'll go and look these things over. And I start looking through any possible leather jerkins or padded armor that could fit me.
She takes you aside, Roman. Are you all right? I heard about the prisoner. I wish it could have been different. I voiced my discontent with the wizard, Dazan. And now another prisoner? I know the captain's doing her best, but it's not right. Every being deserves a chance.
Couldn't agree more. But I raised my voice about the sacrifices, about this downward spiral that this community is putting itself into. I have seen where it leads. I have followed it myself. There's... nothing good waiting at the bottom of that barrel. But I cannot stop them. We have to just try to solve what is making them do this. We have to change what is happening here. It is not natural. It's not supposed to be like this. And there is something happening here. This Duergar, this mysterious albino tiefling, this map. I'm telling you, it's all connected somehow.
I don't know, that sounds a little bit far-fetched. It's all connected somehow, but okay, I'll believe you. I just wish we can get through these times soon enough. Everyone is suffering so much, and I can only take so much suffering on myself. I am only one priest.
I'll be back, though, don't worry.
Well, you better be.
I wouldn't want to be without you. You know, we work well together, I say. I kind of blush a little bit.
We do work together well. Well, good luck. Be safe. Don't take any unnecessary risks. You know how it can be out there right now. You even hear the tremor of an avalanche. You get to cover. If there's a blizzard, keep your head down. Make sure your snowshoes are on.
Yes. I'll make sure to do that, I say. And I move to caress her cheek, but then I sort of change direction and I kind of ruffle her hair, like, in a playful manner, like, I'll be back, don't worry. And then I just quickly begin moving out, and I'm cursing myself, like, what was I thinking?
Kalina just laughs a little, though as you turn away quickly, you do hear her just say, come back on swift wings. And You know that she said that, of course, in a lovely fashion, but then... That was the thing it said, that Dwaegar. It said, death is coming on swift wings. What could that possibly mean?
Yes. What could all this mean? And I'm still sort of blushing from this and still feeling a little bit embarrassed, but happy. Happy.
Roshek, you're chatting with some of these militia folk. Funny how suddenly you're slipping back into... Well, this almost reminds you of a life long ago where you served with people like this. You've been given some basic equipment, they're making sure you've got food, and then it hits you. No one's arguing with you. No one's challenging you. No one's disrupting your way. They seem a little suspicious, perhaps, but people are helping you. You realize you can't remember the last time someone actually helped you, who wasn't a servant or a scared villager or someone who owed you and needed to do as you said.
And I realize that there are people behind my back talking, and I'm not even looking at what they're doing. And I get uneasy, and I think to myself that these people's naivete would be the death of them. What if I was just there with a dagger? I could slip it between their shoulder blades and they wouldn't even notice before the steel tip hit their heart. And then I shudder at my own thoughts. What was I saying? Yes, I was telling you there was this one time I was... there was this advisor that I had. He had really stinky breath, and I don't remember what I was saying. You wanted to show me a piece of armor?
You hear a voice. Quiet. Just in your ear. A cold chill comes across that ear. This could be entertaining. Are you going to entertain me, little Roshek? You'd better do a good job.
And I nervously touch that ear. Yes. Yes, I will. I will entertain you. I will entertain you, of course.
And the soldiers and militia look at you a little strangely, but continue to help you. Both of you are equipped, given provisions, supplies, and led out. You will, of course, not leave right away. It would be foolish to leave in the middle of the night. So instead, you'll be given the axe beaks in the morning and set out on your little journey. Roman, it is midnight. You look up to see a sight that you have seen many, many times, but to you, Roshek, this is brand new. The sky changes. Suddenly, there is a beautiful, shimmering blues, greens, reds, almost as if the sun was shining just for a moment, but not quite. It's not that bright. This strange aura covers the entire sky. What do you do, Roshek? You're outside now with Roman heading back. You've never seen this before.
I look up. I feel startled, but I see Roman is completely calm, as if this is an everyday occurrence. What's this? Some sort of magic? Sort of warding?
It has been appearing in the sky ever since they darkened. It is part of this curse that has befallen this place. They say that it is Aurel, the goddess, that she's doing all this. Perhaps to punish us.
It's beautiful.
Yes, it is. But it is an omen, and it's not signifying anything good, I don't think.
I see the condensation as he speaks, and I blow out a long sigh myself, and I witness it. It's so incredibly cold here. And you say there's no daylight?
No. None to speak of. Just darkness.
For how long?
For 2 years now.
And still you live your life here in some sort of peace.
Well, darkness doesn't bother me anymore. I got used to it, I say and I smile.
And yet there is a pain in your heart, Roman. He says live in peace. You wish that could be true. But you know, if this continues, just like you felt once before, the people will lose hope. They will turn on each other. And finally, the cold, you think, will consume the 10 towns. And there will no longer be anything here other than snow and ice.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we played Icewind Dale, Rime of the Frost Maiden, for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. The music was created by Flowers for Body Snatchers, Ugasanye, Word Clock, and Metatron Omega, and was used with permission from their label, Cryochamber. Check them out at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for more dark ambient. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschobert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, and David Hogbarry for their generous support. And we would of course like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, this show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. May Lathander protect you and fill the world with light.